Today is 2 Timothy 2, but I'll be reading out of Ephesians. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Just a few letters before the Timothys. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. We'll start in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Dear Lord, we thank you for the armor that you have provided us with. We thank you for blessing us in this age with both defensive and offensive weapons of war, for we are in a battle, Lord, and we live in an ungodly time, and we wish to serve you. So, Lord, I pray that you would use this day, this message on essential doctrines that Paul's going to bring, that you would use this to strengthen not just our faith, but our armor, Lord. That you would open our eyes to the battles that are going on around us, and that you would use us to call upon your angelic forces to do this battle down here. So I pray for this message, for this service. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be mighty here, that we would feel your presence, and that you would use this time to just reveal yourself to us in a new way. So use your servant Paul to that end. And Lord, I pray that you would spend him for your glory, that you would bless him with passion and clarity and anointing from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we are... we're looking at the great doctrines of the Bible. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit's work, first about the Holy Spirit himself, then what he does. And recently I've been talking about the Holy Spirit in connection with the Christian life. And this is the last sermon on that little subject. It's a wonderful subject. We'll revisit it many times. I've preached many series actually on this subject. But we have to go on with to the doctrine of the church in the new year, and then to the last thing. So that's what we'll be doing come January. Of course, next week and throughout December, we'll be talking about things to do with the season, things to do with Christmas, the coming of Christ into the world, and the extraordinary hope that we have because of what God has done. Christ has come. The Son of God has come. He's done his work. You know, he has said it is finished. And then he's invited us into the fruits of his work. So there's a lot to praise God for and a lot to consider over the Christmas season. But today what I want to do is I want to consider the subject of the Christian warfare and the Christian soldier. Now, the passage that I've chosen is not the familiar one that was read out by Steve, which we will look at, we'll repair to, but one that actually has a more confined context, which I'm going to actually expand upon, which is not usual for me. I'm quite a one for, you know, the importance of context and what's being spoken of in that particular setting. But I wanted to take these verses from 2 Timothy chapter 2 because they speak about things in a certain way that I think help us to tie up and understand what our role is as people who have been given the Holy Spirit. And so our text is 2 Timothy chapter 2, and as you can see, it's verses 3 and 4, although I am going to go down to verse 6. And I'm going to mention the other illustrations that Paul gives to us. So, verse 3 tells us, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops." So, what is the context? The context here is to Timothy, a pastor. This is a pastoral epistle, and in verse 2 it says that Timothy is to take what he's heard and to pass it on to faithful men who will teach others also. So this obviously has to do with the pastoral role. You say, well, what are you doing taking this text, which is aimed at pastors, and applying it to the congregation? And, well, I am, you know, taking a little bit of liberty with the text. I'm telling you up front. But there are things in this text that apply to you, even if you're not a pastor, even if you've not been called into the ministry. Now, it could be, as we talk about the ministry in the new year, that I will go back to this text and apply it in its particular context to the role of a pastor. But here, I'm going to apply it to all of us. And I can do that. Thank you. I didn't need that for my next, what I was going to say, but okay. And I can do that because Paul elsewhere in his epistles speaks about like running the race, and he's speaking to every Christian. He speaks about being, as it were, a soldier and being involved in Christian warfare to every Christian. And so although, yes, there is a particular emphasis here in this passage to pastors, I think I can take this and without much effort apply it to all of us. And that's what I want to do, because I think these verses kind of sum up the life that we've been called to. And I think also they do it in such a way as to present us in a fresh way, in a different way, with the truths that we read of in Ephesians chapter 6, which we're also familiar with. So that's the idea here of what's going on. Paul, in the context, he employs three analogies. The one major one that I'm going to focus on is the soldier, but he also speaks of the runner, the athlete, and he speaks of the farmer. Okay? The athlete, I'll give you a bit of background. In the Grecian world, Greco-Roman world in which Paul lived, you weren't just an athlete because you were good at running. You didn't just turn up at a race because you were good at running. No, you actually, before you could qualify to run, you had to go through a regime. You had to make sure that you were following rules of preparation before you could get on the track. And there are several accounts of this. There are several writers that speak about the fact that every runner in, for example, in the Olympics, they had to swear to Zeus, not a god, but anyway, they had to swear to him that they had faithfully gone through the 10 months of special training and diet in order to compete. And that's what Paul's talking about. He's not talking about the running of the race here. He's talking about preparation for the race. He says in verse 5, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. You've got to obey the rules. And the rules are 10 months of particular training. And Paul's applying that. He's applying it, of course, first to Timothy, but there are rules also. There are ways that we are to live our Christian lives, and there are ways that we shouldn't live our Christian lives. We have liberty from God, but we don't have license. And it's the same with the farmer. The farmer is one that must have patience, must do certain things. There are rules to farming. Okay, if you do things the wrong way, you don't get the crop. You don't get what you're farming for. You have to obey certain rules. Isaiah calls attention to this in an important text, which I was going to go to, but I'm going to just focus on the soldier here. So the farmer also must obey certain rules. Now, what's important about these first two illustrations? Well, the athlete has to have an athlete's mindset. I'm an athlete. That's what I am. That's why I do these things. That's my outlook. That's my mindset. The farmer has to say, I'm a farmer. That's what I do. So farmers do these things. You can't say, I'm a farmer and I'm going to swan off to Monte Carlo for the next month or two. Okay? Because that's not what farmers can do. You have to have the farmer's mindset. You have to have the athlete's mindset. And you certainly have to have the soldier's mindset when it comes to the Christian life. These are just metaphors, I understand. Okay, so you're not just a soldier, you're not just an athlete. These are just illustrations that Paul uses to help us keep ourselves in check. Yes? A Christian is called to a certain kind of mindset, a certain kind of pilgrimage that he's on. He must understand his life in a different way than he understood it before he came to Christ. He must understand his purpose as being a God-focused purpose, a service purpose, a purpose that engages with the spiritual powers in the world. In fact, if we don't understand ourselves fundamentally as being involved in a spiritual battle, we have completely misconstrued and misunderstood what Christianity is. In leaving us in this world, not snatching us out as soon as we trusted in Jesus, but leaving us here in this world, God has a purpose for us. God has something for us to do. Now, everything that a farmer does is not pleasant. Everything that an athlete has to do is not pleasant. If they were given their druthers, they would probably say, I would rather not muck out the cow today. I would rather not be out there in all weathers. I would rather not be on this particular diet. And so it is with us as Christians. There are certain things that we're called to that we might not like. Certain disciplines that we may not want to do. but they are essential and they are part and parcel of what we are. Of course, the two most clear ones, the ones that come to mind straight away, are reading the Bible and prayer. Prayer is hard work, isn't it? I'm getting a lot of musical background today. That's fine. Prayer's hard work. Sometimes we don't want to pray. But we are called to pray. We have been given the privilege of prayer. And it's part of what we should do. Part of what, when we wake up in the morning, we realize part of what I am is a prayer as a Christian. And part of what I am as a Christian is one who feeds off the Word of God. As Jesus said, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We have to live our spiritual lives partaking of His Word. And if we're not partaking of His Word, we're not living the spiritual life very well. And so, having said that by way of introduction, I want to examine the major metaphor that he uses here of the soldier. Let me read the text again for you. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Okay, so the first thing that I want to call your attention to is that you have been enlisted. You have been enlisted. When you trusted in Jesus as your Savior, God enlisted you in His army. God enlisted you to fight against the forces of evil. Now, I'm not talking about human forces of evil here. I'm not talking about politics here. I'm talking about the spiritual life. And I'm going to go into what that means later on in the message. But you need to understand that you have been enlisted to fight a spiritual battle. Now, if you've been enlisted, that means, you know, I've never been in the armed forces. I tried to join the RAF when I was younger, and they kicked me out because of my knees, especially my left knee. I tried to fool them because I was, you know, very good. I was very athletic back then, but they found out that I had a knee problem and I couldn't get into the RAF. So I don't know what it's like personally, but I do know, because I've had many people and friends that have been in the forces, I do know that once you're enlisted, you know, your mindset has got to change. you are not free to go and do anything that you want. You're signed up. And you're going to sleep where they tell you to sleep. You're going to eat when they tell you to eat. You're going to go and do what they tell you to do. And you better be okay with that. You better make peace with that. Because you're enlisted. And that's the first thing that you have to learn. Is that an enlisted person, a person that is joined up, they have to have a certain outlook, a certain mindset. That is not thinking about, oh, I can do anything I want, but no, I've got to obey orders now. I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to jump when they tell me to jump. That's part and parcel of it. And Paul says that we are enlisted by God. Which means that we have to understand that we are on a side. We're on God's side. We're on Christ's side. And we have to understand what that means. What is Christ's outlook towards the world? What does God think of the present world? So we have to understand that we are on our side. Secondly, we have a cause. And our cause is not the cause of the world. Now, the world might have causes that we may agree with. But that's not our cause. Our cause is to do what God wants us to do, to obey God. Many Christians, I think, get confused and they end up being less helpful and less spiritual and less impactful because they think just doing something is what God wants. But as we will see, what God wants is you to be something. We have to have a certain mindset, a certain outlook. And it takes some effort to maintain that outlook because we have the sin nature, we have the five senses, we all know that it's easy for us to drift. It's easy for us to maybe in a certain circumstance get carried away with the wave of people are talking about. We think about the Charlie Kirk stuff. Now, I believe Charlie Kirk was a Christian. I believe he was a really good man. I believe that he is a martyr. We've talked about that. But we have to be careful of what follows from that. There's a certain mindset where, I mean, I don't know if you've been getting emails, but I've been getting emails from Turning Point USA about political issues, political things. And the thing is that I might agree with those political stances, but that's not what I'm about. That just because I agree with a certain political stance doesn't mean that I am doing what God wants me to do or thinking the way that God wants me to think. Because maybe in thinking about certain issues, I'm not thinking about what God wants me to think about, you see? And I get carried away on the, as it were, the politics train, and I'm not where God wants me to be in the place that God has put me. So we're enlisted, and we have to have the right mindset for that. Then Paul says here that we must be able to endure hardship, and both words are important. Hardship, trouble, suffering, difficulty, the kind of things that come our way because we're Christians. The kind of things that happen to us, maybe in church, maybe those things that happen to us in our families because we stand for Christ, we have to be able to endure hardship, maybe in the workplace. Maybe we're overlooked for a promotion because we're a Christian and our boss just can't stand you because you're a Christian. Has that happened to you? It's happened to me in my life. We have to be able to expect hardship, just like a soldier. I mean, he's got... Well, I'm not going to go there. But in what the army is supposed to be, a person has got to expect that they're going to be doing things that they don't like doing. And they're going to be hard to do and hard to learn and hard to endure. Folks, God is gracious. God is good. But God wants you to endure hardship. The Christian life is not a feather bed. The Christian life is not a crutch that we lean on. The Christian life is a call to endure hardship. It is a life of faith. Faith in uh faith in the combat that might come our way, faith in the unfairness of things that might afflict us, faith that God is with us and we are doing God's will even though things are going wrong. We need to understand that hardship and difficulty is just part and parcel of the Christian life. I hope that none of us think that Christianity is something, you know, if we trust in Christ, all of our wildest dreams will come true. I know there are people that preach that. There are many people that present that, even if they don't preach it, they give that impression that everything is going to be wonderful. Everything is going to be just breezy. After all, God just has, you know, what you think is good, God seems to agree with that and he's just going to give it to you. Whereas, of course, we understand that Jesus himself did not have a place to lay his head. We understand the Apostle Paul, who's writing this, was beaten. He was whipped. He was mistreated wherever he went. He had a hard life. If we will be prepared to just lift our eyes a little bit out of our Western way of living, we might see that there are many Christians, and I think particularly of those in Nigeria right now, although it's been going on for a long time, who are having their kids kidnapped by Muslims, who are being killed and murdered, and they're not being protected. There's the reality that some people are called to. I rejoice in the fact that those that are killed do not die. That they go to the blessed life. But then I mourn and it hurts to think of those kids that have been kidnapped. And we must pray that God would rescue them. Hardship. Hardship. Many of the things that we go through in life involve difficulty, involve hardship. And it's not necessarily God disciplining us. Doesn't mean that we're backslidden. It doesn't mean because the sky's falling in that, you know, you're not right with God. But it does mean that you are called to a certain attitude, a certain outlook, a certain faith in the midst of it. I wish all of us, I wish you peace in your life. I wish you no difficulties in your life. But in the midst of that, I also know that I must tell you that you're called to face difficulties, to face hardship, and you must endure it. Paul here goes on and talks about the fact that we are involved in a warfare. Verse 4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Now, this certainly brings us to the Ephesians 6 text. And before we turn there, just let me call your attention to this word, this warfare here. This means that we're fighting. And when we're fighting, you know, we're not thinking about other things when we're fighting. There's a whole bunch of stuff that doesn't come to mind when we're involved in a fight, in a battle. And in the spiritual realm, because this is what it's talking about, we are constantly fighting. We are constantly in a battle. Now, the way that we fight is different than the way that soldiers fight physically, of course. But it does mean that we have to have a certain orientation to the spirit realm. We must not forget that when we were saved, the Holy Spirit came to reside within us. We were born again spiritually, and we became part, as it were, of the picture, the reality of the spiritual realm. We still have physical bodies, but we are spiritual beings, and we are looked upon by our enemies, our spiritual enemies, as spiritual beings. And they love it. The demons love it. Satan loves it. When we just lean upon a lamppost, as it were, and just let the fight continue without joining in. We are called to a certain manner of life, a certain representation of God when we're saved. It has never been popular for preachers to preach against sin. It has never been popular for preachers to preach righteousness and holiness and spiritual responsibility to Christians. I understand. It would be great to just concentrate on those things that are easy in life. But God has called us to holiness. God has called us to righteousness. God has called us out of darkness and into light. And therefore, our orientation is warfare with those elements of darkness that fight against God in this world. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Christ said that he will say to people, but you know, I think some Christians are not going to hear that because they've not got involved. They've not taken their Christianity seriously. They've treated salvation as just a ticket to heaven instead of an involvement. It is a ticket to heaven, but also there's an involvement in the Lord's work, in the Lord's service. We are called to fight for the simple reason that we are in enemy territory. When you get to glory, you won't need to fight because there'll be no enemies in the spiritual realm. Praise God. But right now, there are plenty of them to go around. Right now, we need to have the kind of mindset which says we are engaged in spiritual warfare. And so now we can go to Ephesians chapter 6, if you'll go there quickly. Ephesians chapter 6. Steve read these verses out. I just want to call attention to certain things that Paul wants us to understand about the Christian warfare. Ephesians chapter 6. Let us first look at verse 14. There are two things in verse 14 that we need to focus on as Christians. Two things. One, truth. Truth. God's truth. It has to be the dominant thought in our minds. This is what God says. This is what God has done. This is what God is doing. Everything in our minds should be regulated, calibrated towards truth, not error. The church should be a place of truth. Secondly, can you guess the second one? Righteousness. Righteousness. You say, well, hold on a minute. I kind of like the idea of the, you know, the breastplate and the, you know, all of the gear. I want to focus on the gear. Paul wants you to focus on truth and righteousness. How about that? That's not where the modern church focuses. But that's where God wants us to focus. If you are going to be a proper Christian soldier, you cannot do it without truth. And you cannot do it without caring for righteousness. Let us move on. The gospel of peace. Verse 15. The gospel of peace. Focusing on the gospel. What has God done in Jesus Christ at the cross? What has he accomplished in this evil world? What astonishing miracle took place at Calvary? Where the justice of God met the love of God and the compassion of God. And then what happened after that, 3 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? So that peace between us and God could be established. What a price was paid for us to be at peace with God. And then moving on, faith, trusting God in all circumstances, trusting God simply, trusting the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. That kind of childlike faith, giving it all over to him. You say, that's hard because, you know, I've trusted people and they have shown that they are untrustworthy and they've hurt me and maybe, and I've still carried the scars, the emotional scars for that. I understand that, but God is trustworthy. God is faithful. God is not going to let you down. You can trust him. Faith in God. You say, I just don't know how God's going to help me in this situation. That's fine. Your child doesn't know how you're going to get out of certain situations. You know, maybe they're panicking, maybe they're anxious, maybe they're concerned. And you can comfort them because you know how you're going to, that there isn't a big deal. You know that you can get them out of this situation and pretty soon they'll be fine. Well, your Heavenly Father knows how to get you out of the worst of situations. Have faith. And then the helmet of salvation, just remembering that you're saved. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which means that you have to study it. See, we think of the sword of the Spirit that, you know, it's some kind of a, like a sword battle, you know, touche, you know, all that stuff going on with the devil. But what's the point of unsheathing your sword when you don't know how to use it? Flapping around like, you know, because you don't know how to use the Word of God. Folks, the Bible is the Word of God. How do you treat it? Do you read it? Do you study it? Do you think about it? Do you meditate on it? You know, years ago, and I'm talking a few centuries ago, there were certain books, I've said this before, but it is worth saying again. certain books that could be found on everybody's bookshelf, whether they were quote-unquote supposedly illiterate or not, whatever they were doing. One of them was the Bible. One of them was Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. And oftentimes, Human Nature in its Fourfold State by Thomas Boston. You say, well, I haven't heard of that one. Human Nature in its Fourfold State. You think, that's just a headache, even listening to the title. This is Thomas Boston's sermons to his congregation on the borders of Scotland and England, crofters, farmers, about man in innocence, man in the fall, man as saved, and man in glory. Now, I'm telling you, it's not easy reading. But how come those crofters, those farmers, could endure such sermons, could sit under such ministry? How could just the people in Northampton sit under the ministry of Jonathan Edwards, the sermons of Jonathan Edwards? Many of them were not particularly educated. Some of them were. How come these people could understand Pilgrim's Progress? We went through Pilgrim's Progress a few years ago. We went through Holy War earlier this year. How come they could understand them? And the modern church just would run the other direction. They're not interested. They're not up to it. I'm not pointing fingers on anyone here. I'm just saying that these aspects of the spiritual warfare have to be taken seriously. Are you a person of truth? Are you a person that is concerned with righteousness? Are you concerned with the gospel? Are you concerned with faith? Are you concerned with the word of God, the Bible? Do you study it? Do you read it? Do you follow it? Obey it? And then it adds prayer. You say, well, aren't you going to talk about the different parts of the armor? No. Not today, I'm not. I'm going to say to you that if your concern is a concern for truth, is a concern for righteousness, is a concern for faith in the word of God, if that's what you are as a Christian, you're a Christian soldier. And if you're not concerned for those things, you're not a Christian soldier. Or at least you're a bad one. In other words, it's not about, you know, the swashbuckling, you know, let's fight the devil, you know. It's not about action as much as what you are. You are a powerful influence, a powerful light in the world, one that scares, as it were, the devil away because you are concerned with these aspects that we might call godliness. Being like Christ. Observing the word of God. That makes you powerful. And the service that you do because you are that kind of a Christian has great impact in the spiritual realm. You know, many times there are people, and we think of many missionaries who have gone out to the darkest places in the world with the gospel, and it has been years and years and years and years until they had their first convert. Adoniram Judson is one, William Carey is one, Amy Carmichael, many of these people. And they have gone, and they've gone in faith, with faith in God, trusting God, caring about holiness and righteousness, believing the word of God, meditating on it as truth in the midst of error that they're surrounded by. And by being people who are concerned with godliness, they have driven away the darkness. Churches. I like to think this church, we try. We're not perfect by any means. But churches that stand for the truth are a light in darkness. Because they stand for truth and they stand for holiness. We don't go out there and start fighting the demons. Because the demons are not concerned with like this idea of hand-to-hand combat with you in the spiritual realm. What they're concerned about is, what kind of a Christian are you? How much do you yield to the Spirit of God in you? When they see the Spirit of God working in you, when they see the fruit of the Spirit working in you, in your life, in your humility, in your service for others, in your worship of Christ, that's what puts them to flight. So you see what I'm talking about here, the Christian soldier. It's not about what they do so much as what they are. And what are you like as a Christian? What am I like as a Christian? Isn't it a constant battle? It's a constant warfare that we have in the spiritual realm, in the mental realm, to be what God wants us to be in this world. We have to constantly engage faith as it's a gear that we have to use. We have to actually engage it in our lives. We have to think in a certain way. We have to deny ourselves in certain ways. So Paul says in verse 4 of 2 Timothy 2, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life. Now obviously we've got stuff to do. There's plenty of things to do. There's plenty of things that demand our attention. Paul's not referring to that. He is referring to that in the doing of these things, in our days as we pass our days in the different phases of our life, how often do we bring God with us? How often are we people of faith in the midst of the things that we're doing? Have we meditated on the Word of God this morning? I was in Leviticus this morning. Leviticus 21. Look it up later. There's not much in there for, edification, as it were. But it did tell me, stop doing this. Don't do that. Don't do this. Don't have that kind of mindset. Well, that's helpful. What about us? Do we enter the day with some scripture in our minds? Have we untangled the mess that's up here that the world has made in our heads with truth from scripture? Have we pushed out the darkness with the light of the word of God? And now have we turned to God, acknowledged God, and said, Lord, I trust you for this day. I commit myself this day to you. That's what it means here. Another way of saying this is that our goals and our outlook are to be on what God has called us to be as Christians. Well, finally, if you flip over your page, you'll see that I have a fifth point here. But don't worry. This is going to be very quick. God has called us to be a good soldier, and we can't be a good soldier if we're not concerned with living in the Spirit. There are different ways that Paul puts it, fighting the Christian warfare by standing in the might of Christ. If we're not concerned with the things of God in our everyday lives, if we are, we'll be a good soldier. And we'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. But if we're not, if we're concerned to just go to church, if we're concerned to not work on our own spiritual lives from day to day, I'm afraid we'll be a bad soldier. We'll be a soldier. I mean, you're enlisted anyway. But you're just not very, you're not much use. Because you're not concerned with radiating the holiness of God, with letting the Holy Spirit work in you, with having priorities that God wants you to have, by not being affected by the things that the world is drawn away by. And so the last word that I want to say on the subject of the Christian life and the Holy Spirit's work in us is that we have to let the Holy Spirit, through His Word, through the church, let Him work in our lives. Let us yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Because at the end of the day, if the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, then we'll be good soldiers. Then we'll be effective in this life. Then the devil will take notice of us. Which, by the way, you want the devil to take notice of you. I mean, I know you don't want to, you don't want to meet the devil. You don't want to have any interactions with the devil. But if you want any glory out of your service for God, be somebody that the devil actually has to turn his head for and say, oh, well, that guy's trouble. Be somebody like that. Be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to have this mindset. You give us a responsibility, Lord, of what to do, of the steps to take every day. It's not a one-time thing to be a good soldier. We have to get up with the right understanding of what the day may hold. We have to go into the day with You. We need to be concerned with righteousness and holiness. And where we mess up, because we surely will mess up, we will entertain sinful thoughts. We confess them to You, Lord. We don't let them fester in our lives, but we come to You for forgiveness and cleansing. And then carry on serving You, regulating our lives in accordance with Your truth. Help us to be more like that. Help us to be a church that is concerned with truth and holiness, Lord. And I ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.